No one remembers it ever being like this. Too much rain falling far too often has created an unprecedented situation for farmers in Ohio and across much of the nation. There have been years when some of the crop didn't get planted, but this year many farmers will plant nothing, and that did get planted may not produce much at harvest. The social media hashtag has become NoPlant19. We're going to examine its consequences today on Town Hall Ohio.
This is Town Hall Ohio, home to interesting people, engaging issues, and enlightening stories. Town Hall Ohio is a production of the Ohio Farm Bureau Federation, working together for Ohio farmers to advance agriculture and strengthen our communities, and is supported by Nationwide. Nationwide is on your side. Now, here's Town Hall Ohio host, Joe Corneli.
A farm economy that was already in a downturn due to markets, government policy, and other outside influences has taken another devastating hit, this time from Mother Nature. Never before has there been a spring and early summer like this where many Ohio farmers had zero opportunity to plant crops that help feed the world. What's that mean to those individual farmers, to communities, and our economy as a whole? We're going to answer a few of those questions with a variety of guests, including an economist and an agronomist from Ohio State University, a number of farmers, and we'll even hear briefly from Ohio Governor Mike DeWine. We begin, though, with two of the Ohio Farm Bureau staff members who are most closely watching this painful disaster unfold across rural Ohio. Jack Irvin is Senior Director of State and National Affairs, and Ty Higgins is Director of Media Relations, and you hear him as a host here on Town Hall Ohio. Got to tell you, Jack and Ty, I wish we didn't have to do this show today.
You and I both.
It is something that guys even older than me say they've never seen anything like it. Ty, just kind of give us your firsthand look. You're studying the stats, you're talking to the farmers, you're out there driving around Ohio. What are you seeing?
Well, it's catastrophic, and that's not an over-exaggeration. You hit the nail right on the head in the beginning when you said this is the worst that anyone's ever seen. And we've been keeping track of planting progress since the mid-1970s. And Ohio, during the entire month of April, May, and June, lagged behind everybody else that grew corn and soybeans in the region as far as planting progress. And that's just up until the mid-70s. You ask Dad and Grandpa if they've ever seen anything like this on the farm, and they'll tell you, not even close.
Jack, you also talk to a lot of farmers. You're out and about. Can you add to what Ty had to say?
Yeah, I think one of the things that struck me most, I was talking to a farmer recently, and I asked him, you know, when did you start farming? And, you know, kind of sheepishly, he started doing the math. He said, wow, I've been farming for over 50 years. And when we started talking about the conditions and the issues in his personal farm and in his area, and he said, unfortunately, this is the worst I've ever seen it. And that comes from a producer that's been out there farming for over 50 years. And I mean, that's just a great testament or unfortunate testament to how serious the situation is for a lot of people.
Ty, run down some of the numbers. The Department of Agriculture tracks planting progress week to week starting April 1st. Kind of tell us what those numbers look like for Ohio.
Well, the latest numbers for Ohio have the corn crop at 80% planted, and that number is a little bit skewed. I'll explain in a second. Soybeans at 65%. So up until about 2 weeks ago, Joe, the USDA was asking farmers that took this survey to give them a total percent plant of the acres they intended to plant at the beginning of the spring. So let's say a farmer had 100 acres that he intended to plant to corn, and up until 2 weeks ago, he only got 50% of the corn planted. Well, now USDA kind of changed their calculation a little bit, and the USDA asked the farmer to give his percent of planted that he now intended to plant after we get into a very wet spring. So if a farmer now had 50% planted and couldn't get the other 50% in, he, for all intents and purposes, was 100% planted. So if you ask someone around the area of north central, northwest, west central Ohio, just how much corn did get planted now that planting window is closed, they'll tell you right around 50 or 60%. There's still time left, though, to get soybeans in the ground. Farmers will attempt to do that up until about the first week of July.
Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about that here later on in the show. Clearly, Jack, and we're going to hear from the governor here shortly, he was up in northwest Ohio. That's the worst part of the state, but while there's a lot of focus there, It's pretty widespread, although there are some areas where, you know, corn's up to knee high by now.
Definitely certain parts of the state are struggling more than others, but one of the components that I think is easily overlooked is, I mean, it's pretty obvious this situation when somebody cannot plant and I cannot see anything growing that, wow, that's a very serious situation. But we've had a lot of farmers that also have had crops planted, but the conditions have just been so difficult that it's very hard to see that they're going to have a very positive year. So come this fall, even though they do have a crop in the ground, they might not see a very good yield and very good production. And that's another key component that we're going to be keeping a close eye on this year.
That's one of the stats on this survey from USDA is crop conditions. And as Jack said, the crop that's planted has been through a whole lot more moisture and it doesn't really help growing conditions to start. And as of last week, corn was only 39% in good to excellent condition. That is an amazingly low number for the corn that's in the ground and has emerged to be in that sad of shape. Beans, even worse, they're at 30% good to excellent. And corn, that excellent category, only 5% of the corn crop planted all over Ohio is in excellent shape right now.
Not quite a couple of weeks ago, I guess it was June 19th, Governor Mike DeWine visited the farm of Chris Swartz. Chris farms near Perrysburg, which is just outside of Toledo in northwest Ohio. And during a visit with reporters, Governor DeWine talked about the severity of the conditions, one of the challenges of planting exceptionally late, and what federal assistance he's looking for. Let's listen to a few of the comments from Governor Mike DeWine.
Well, I wanted to come here and see this for myself. I've talked to a number of farmers in regard to this problem with the weather, with it being too wet to put the crop in. And, you know, time is moving forward very quickly. And this is, you know, probably in my lifetime, I can't remember a situation that was as bad as this. Let me just say, you know, to be a farmer today is tough. It's always been tough to be a farmer, but it's tough today. And one of the things that they're facing is very significant input costs, the seed, fertilizer. So, you know, for them to go out and to put a crop out and think that crop may not be any good or not be very good, that's a high risk proposition.
Yeah.
Well, we want Department of Agriculture, I sent a letter to Secretary Perdue, and you know what we want them is to declare this as a state of emergency here and be able to come in and be of some assistance. So, you know, we're in the process, each county will be in the process of kind of putting its losses together. One of the challenges is that it's hard to estimate exactly the loss at this point, but every day that goes by, I guess it gets clearer what the loss is going to be. So further on we get and crops are not planted, you know, you have a pretty good idea what that loss is.
That is Governor Mike DeWine on the farm of Chris Swartz up near Toledo, Ohio, Perrysburg in northwest Ohio. And Jack, your area of specialty is what the government might be doing. But just the fact that Governor DeWine took the time to go out and talk to farmers and had a roundtable with them, it tells us that it's getting attention at the highest levels of state leadership.
Yeah, that's one of the things that Farm Bureau is focused on, is helping tell that story out there of what we're hearing from across the countryside. And in Ohio, we're very fortunate to have a governor that has a background in agriculture and grew up on a farm and unfortunately or fortunately understands a lot of the issues that we're facing out there. So just to have leadership like that going out there personally, meeting with our farmers, Ohio's ag director has been out and about trying to see the on-the-ground conditions. Our entire congressional delegation, every single member of the House of Representatives sent a collective letter together. Both our senators came together and sent a letter together, Portman and Brown. And that just to me is a great testament to, one, the leadership in Ohio, but also, again, highlights the severity of the situation that all our political leaders are recognizing. Hey, we got a serious problem out here, and we need to lift the tension up across the country.
I want to say a huge thank you to Joel Penorwood and the whole team at the Ohio AgNet. They're the ones that provided us those sound clips of Governor DeWine up on the Swartz farm. That's where you used to work. Those are your old buddies. And I think most people that are familiar with the things happening here at Farm Bureau, I'm getting ready to hang it up at this end of the year. And we brought Ty in to take over to do media relations. And with this weather situation, you're earning your keep with the telephone calls from reporters. It's getting attention.
Without a doubt. And when you do get letters from our congressmen and women in Washington and you get attention from the governor, then the big city publications start to take notice. And that's when you and I, Joe, had our phones ringing off the hook when the governor said, we have a problem in Ohio with agriculture. And then all of a sudden, the Clevelands and Cincinnati's, the Columbuses of the world start to realize that something's going on in the countryside they need to start paying attention to. And that's what's definitely happened over the last couple of weeks.
You've, as I said earlier, talked to a whole lot of farmers. We've got a clip here with one of the interviews you did.
Yeah, so I traveled to Northwest Ohio first week of June. And still, at that time, there was a chance to get some corn and soybeans in the ground. But the further north and the further west you go in the state, the Henry, Fulton, Williams County area, things really start to get bad real quick. And so I visited with Glenn Newcomber and asked him to kind of give me the lay of the land about what was happening at that time of year.
Yeah, it's very difficult to even describe the situation here in Northwest Ohio. This planting delay has become a real problem.
I can tell you through my travels in Wood and Henry and in Williams County, on those main thoroughfares, I could count on one hand how many fields I saw planted. And those fields, due to rains just yesterday, were saturated. So just compounding issues and more weeds than seeds so far.
And you hit on an important issue there. There's going to be a number of compounding issues. Just because the acreage is planted doesn't mean that it's going to be a favorable crop. With the flood damage, the hail damage that some fields received, the delayed planting issues, all of the stresses and challenges to grow a crop, it's going to really impact this whole area. And agronomically, we're going to have to contend and deal with some of the weed pressure issues that are exaggerating and really growing right now because of the lack of herbicides and preventative weed control.
A lot of things to think about, a lot of decisions to be made. How does that affect your marketing plan and how you move forward based on things that you really don't know everything about yet?
Well, we manage what we can control. We know and understand where our crop insurance levels are at. We know which fields are probably going to get planted, which are not. We have to utilize our best risk management with the information that we currently have. It is extremely frustrating, though, when you have the unknowns in regards to what the government programs are going to be. All I can suggest is that a person just stay as informed as they can, and we'll probably have a better rearview mirror picture of what we should have done.
How did you pass the time? Farmers can just sit there and watch the rain come down. There's not a whole lot you can do in the field. You probably went over your planter five or six times to make sure everything was just right in the way it needed to be. So how do you sit on your hands and let the world go by?
I think everyone has to have a release valve or a way of diffusing the stress and, you know, friends and hobbies and things like that. You just have to find ways to separate the business side from your personal side. We have a strong faith. Obviously our church family and we have many close friends who help us through this. And the challenges we face are weather related and it's out of our control. And I just think that everyone has to discover or have a means to diffuse the stress and the distraction from the weather.
That is Farmer Glenn Newcomber from Bryan up in Williams County chatting with Ty Higgins. We'll be back to talk more about No Plant 19 right after this.
Water. Every drop matters. No one knows that better than Ohio's farmers. Clean water is important to every farm and to every farmer. That's why Ohio Farm Bureau has invested millions of dollars to help farmers protect this vital resource. And in the process, protect the future for everyone. To learn more about Farm Bureau's clean water initiatives and for information on becoming a member, we invite you to visit farmersforwater.org today.
This year, Ohio Farm Bureau celebrates 100 years of serving farmers all over the Buckeye State. That's a full century of advocating on the behalf of farmers about issues impacting their livelihood. Join in the celebration by checking out our Centennial Store. Whether you're shopping for t-shirts, hats, and jackets featuring the vintage Ohio Farm Bureau logo, pint glasses for your cover crop beer, or a history book highlighting Ohio Farm Bureau's accomplishments now spanning 100 years, you can find it all right now at ohiofarmbureaustore.com. That's ohiofarmbureaustore.com.
Look at this house, Brad. just the place for some songwriting inspiration. It could be a song about home insurance or auto insurance or a car home bundle with Nationwide. Two songs in one. What would you call that, a crossover?
I think it's more of a mashup, Peyton.
Yeah, a mashup. Genius. Let's make a mashup.
Nationwide is proud to be the exclusive insurance provider for Ohio Farm Bureau. To find a local farm agent, visit farmagentfinder.com.
Savings compared to standalone price of each policy. Product availability varies by state agent and other factors. Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company, Columbus, Ohio.
At Georgia Boot, we build our boots just like the people who wear them. Tough, dependable, and hardworking. You need a boot that you can count on. That's why Georgia Boot always uses rich, full-grain leathers and comfort insoles to maximize your all-day comfort. We've been building boots that way since 1937. You pick the best tools for the job. Why would your boots be any different? Georgia Boot is America's hardest working boot. Go to georgiaboot.com to see our latest promotions or to find a dealer near you.
With over 300,000 horses in Ohio, the economic impact of the equine industry in the state is valued at $1.4 billion. Much of that value comes from standardbred horse owners, breeders, trainers, and drivers who participate in the sport of harness racing in the Buckeye State, all supported by the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association. Since 1953, the mission of the OHHA is to preserve, protect, promote, and serve the entire standardbred industry in Ohio and beyond. And the relationship between OHHA members and Ohio agriculture is undeniable. Farmers provide feed, bedding, and stables for the horses, and in turn, those amazingly fast four-legged athletes provide a major draw to Ohio's county fairs, bringing revenue to our rural communities. OHHA membership has its privileges. Members reap the benefits of having a strong voice for shaping statewide policies, receive continuous industry education, and valuable information in OHHA newsletters and magazines. Check out OHHA.com to find out how the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association is making great strides for you. That's OHHA.com.
Farmers on social media have dubbed this spring and summer No Plant 19. If you were with us earlier in the show, you've learned that in many areas of Ohio, probably half the crops not planted. We've talked to farmers who planted absolutely nothing. One of the things that farmers are holding out hope on, and we're already starting to get a sense that there's help coming, is the federal government coming along. Much like when housing floods out along the Mississippi River or a tornado hits, the federal government steps in to help. We're hoping that they'll be able to do so with Ohio farmers and those across the nation, too. Helping us tell the story of No Plant 19, Ty Higgins, Director of Media Relations. Jack Irvin, our Senior Director of State and National Affairs. Jack, give us a sense of what kinds of help that the federal government has come along that we know is going to be available.
So one of the major programs we have out there is what's called crop insurance, very similar to car policy or auto policy or home insurance, where you as a farmer pay a premium to have some level of coverage or protection on your crop. So if you're not able to plant, for example, there is some coverage for you. It's what's called prevented planting. At most, and just some rough ballpark estimates, it'll only cover about half of what you normally could have received had you been able to grow a crop. So it is not designed to make you whole. It's designed to help keep the lights on. And I think that's an important point. While there are programs out there, they're definitely not the be all end all for our farmers.
So crop insurance is something that most farmers who have crops that are eligible for it will buy on a normal basis. And the prevented planting piece of it's going to, I don't want to say pay off, but certainly get used this year. Ad hoc disaster assistance. What's DC doing, talking about doing there?
The president did sign a disaster package recently that worked its way through Congress. Frankly, we don't know exactly what's going to be a part of that package. So we know some of the provisions that are in there. There are some things related to the crop insurance I spoke about earlier, maybe some additional assistance on top of your kind of traditional crop insurance program. But one of the challenges that we're seeing out there is we just don't know the size of the problem. Obviously, our federal government has a finite pool of resources, so they know what their budget is, but they don't know the size of the problem yet. And unfortunately, it's going to be a long time before we have a good handle of what assistance may or may not be out there. And At this point, our farmers are just trying to move forward as best they can, recognizing they're not going to have a good answer for a long time.
A little bit of confusion too, Ty, because set aside all of this disaster and crop insurance, the president has announced a program that will help compensate farmers for market losses due to the trade war with China. The problem is, this is to oversimplify, but farmers had to choose between one and the other, and it's hard to do the math when you don't have all of the digits to put into the calculation.
There was a time during the planting season where farmers were being encouraged to plant a crop because of the Trump administration's plan to pay them for planting a crop. Another program was telling them not to plant a crop because they might be getting more of an insurance policy with the disaster package than they would have previously. So farmers have been so confused about some of the decisions they need to make, and as if this weather in this spring didn't give them enough uncertainty as it was, a lot of these other components that went into it kind of complicated it even further.
Jack, for decades, generations, our national farm policy has focused on the major top five commodities that we grow in the United States. But as we see agriculture in our state evolve, there's a lot of produce that's grown. There are a lot of specialty crops that are grown. What kind of recourse is out there for those men and women? What kind of help might they have access to?
So that's something that's been evolving, kind of the most recent farm bills, which is the kind of the legislation that brings all the farm policies together. And I think recognizing, particularly here in Ohio, we're continuing to see a growth in diversity in terms of what people produce, what things they want to raise. And unfortunately, there's not as many programs for a lot of those specialty producers out there. So that's something that we've advocated for. There are some components in this more recently passed disaster bill, recognizing that not everyone grows corn or soybeans and wheat. And they're being impacted as well. But unfortunately, as we talked earlier, and even the programs Ty was talking about, farmers getting paid from certain programs, even those dollars are just a small subset of what they actually could have raised had they been able to produce their crop. So, you know, it's easy for us to sit back here. I live here in Central Ohio. I don't farm and kind of throw stones. Oh, I'm not getting this government payment. Well, it's just a small portion of the losses that they are experiencing. And again, it is not going to make these producers whole.
Yeah, I hear that a lot. Why should we subsidize farmers? And we don't subsidize everybody else. And my first question is, well, do you have a mortgage? Do you have a house payment? Well, it's subsidized. Do you have family members on Social Security? Well, that's subsidized. That's what government does. It incentivizes the kind of behaviors that we like to see, and feeding our country is, I guess, is worthy of being incentivized. Ty, real fast, a crop we haven't talked about that is huge in Ohio, we produce a lot of hay.
Yeah, and we're going to have some difficulties again this year. Late last year, we only maybe got two or three cuttings at the most of hay across the state. We had a really rough winter. A lot of those alfalfa hay fields did not survive, had winter kill take place, and so those need to be replanted. That takes a little bit longer for that to grow and produce another hay crop, and we're just now getting to first and maybe starting the second hay cuttings in a good part of the state, but there is going to certainly be another hay shortage in 2019.
Farm Bureau's Ty Higgins, who speaks to the media on behalf of agriculture. Farm Bureau's Jack Irvin, who talks to the politicians. We'll talk more No Plant 19 after this. Plenty of rain in the lives of Ohioans, and in particular Ohio farmers. We're talking about No Plant 19 this week on Town Hall, Ohio. Fact is that in many parts of the state, farmers will not get a single seed in the ground. In other areas where they did, continuing rain makes the prospects for a great crop pretty dim. We talked with Jack Irvin and Ty Higgins of the Farm Bureau staff. We heard from Governor DeWine a little bit ago, kind of setting the stage. And we've talked a lot about the economic consequences. Want to drill down on that a bit and talk about what it means economically to not be able to put out a crop. My guest is ag economist Ben Brown. He runs Ohio State University's Farm Management Program. And I asked him to give you a bit of a look at the costs of farming, the expenses that most farmers have to cover, even if they don't put a single seed in the ground.
For corn, you know, it's not out of the question to see $800 of cost, whether that's variable cost or fixed cost, you know, inclusion of the two in that operation. Now, if you've paid off your land or you don't have a cash rent payment, you're not paying a mortgage payment on that land, you know, then you potentially have lower fixed costs, right? You're taking away that fixed cost. If we look at the variable side of the equation, you know, that's your seed, that's your fertilizer, that's your herbicide that you're applying, and it's very relative to what you plant. So if the more you plant, you know, or a per bushel amount, you know, that's your variable cost that gets figured in as well. And so the trick this year, and the trick with prevent planting, is if you don't plant a crop, it's assumed that you have zero variable cost, right? We're just you're basically just saying I have my fixed cost of a land payment, my equipment that I've maybe purchased in the past that I still making payments on, and so you're sitting there thinking, okay, you know, I've just got to cover my fixed cost. Well, most producers, in fact, all producers are planning on planting a crop, you know, heading into the year, right? So you've made plans and you've made decisions based on planting a crop, buying seed, buying chemical, applying fertilizer. So if you decide not to plant a crop, it's not like those variable costs go away. You might get an opportunity to store some of those and put them in, you know, storage to use in a future year. You might have opportunities to use them in other areas. But for the most part, you're going to actually have some of those variable costs that are going to effectively become fixed cost. Now, if we look at the soybean picture, soybean costs are always lower. You have roughly your same fixed cost because you're still using the same equipment. You still got a land cost, whether you plant corn or soybeans. But soybean variable costs are a lot lower. We usually figure in somewhere around $230, $220 of variable cost per farm. Plus then, you know, $400, $350 fixed cost. So you're looking at $550, $600 for soybean total cost versus the $800 for corn. So that's kind of what we're dealing with corn and soybeans.
Ohio State ag economist Ben Brown. I walked from his office in the Ag Admin building across to Cottman Hall, where I visited with Laura Lindsay. She is a crop specialist in soybean and small grain production at OSU. Now, we don't expect any more corn to be planted, but we might get some beans in yet. Can farmers actually still plant soybeans with any expectation for success?
Yeah, there's still some time to plant depending on the area. In the state of Ohio, we do have farmers who do something called double crop soybeans, where they plant soybeans after winter wheat or barley harvest, and they do plant soybeans around the first week of July, so that is doable. In northern Ohio, the options are a little bit less because their growing season is shorter. So there's still, in early July, there's still some time, but the yield potential will decrease quite a bit. Soybeans yield the best when they're planted early, and as you plant later, yields decrease substantially.
Laura shared a few tips on how you might change your planting plans this late in the year.
When we shift to later soybean planting, farmers have to decide on seeding rate. Usually we have them increase the amount of seed they plant as they plant later. Narrow rows are also beneficial. So instead of planting maybe in 30-inch rows, if they could plant in narrower rows to capture more sunlight, that is beneficial. They may look at altering the relative maturity to make sure that their soybeans mature before the first killing frost. So there are a lot of agronomic decisions that need to be made as soybeans are planted later in the growing season.
As far as managing those beans through the shortened growing season?
In terms of management right now, what I would recommend is really good scouting. Margins are pretty tight with less yield, reduced yield potential with this late planting. So scouting for insects and disease and managing any other inputs very wisely throughout the rest of the growing season, I think will be very important.
Laura said there is one very small positive out of this season.
there's always two sides to everything. For research, it's disheartening because we couldn't plant all of our trials. We lost some trials because we just couldn't plant them. The silver lining is what we do have out there will have really unique data based on the weather. So when we get questions, hopefully this never, ever, ever happens again. But if it does, we'll actually have some recommendations based on what we see this year.
Ohio State crop specialist Laura Lindsay, before that Ben Brown from OSU's Ag Econ Department. While there are agronomic and economic concerns associated with a year like this, there are also hugely emotional concerns. We'll talk about that next on Town Hall Ohio.
Look at this house, Brad. Just the place for some songwriting inspiration. It could be a song about home insurance or auto insurance or a car home bundle with Nationwide. Two songs in one. What would you call that? A crossover?
I think it's more of a mashup, Peyton.
Yeah, a mashup. Genius. Let's make a mashup.
Nationwide is proud to be the exclusive insurance provider for Ohio Farm Bureau. To find a local farm agent, visit farmagentfinder.com.
Savings compared to standalone price of each policy. Product availability varies by state agent and other factors. Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company, Columbus, Ohio.
Ohio Farm Bureau is proud to announce its new partnership with the Ford Motor Company, and it's good news for Farm Bureau members. Members get $500 in bonus cash on eligible new Ford cars and trucks, or $750 in bonus cash on eligible Lincoln vehicles. Not a member? Well, join now, and in 30 days, you're eligible. For complete information on program details, visit ofbf.org.
We believe in food.
Grown in the fields of Ohio.
In clean air and water.
And in preserving farmland forever.
We believe in opportunities for the next generation.
For nearly 100 years,
Ohio Farm Bureau has been bringing people together.
Join us in the journey.
Together.
Together.
Together with farmers.
Visit togetherwithfarmers.org.
Have you heard about the Ohio Farm Bureau Energy Program? Eligible members are saving an average of 15% on their electric and natural gas bills. The program works through a network of suppliers to secure cost-saving pricing in competitive electric and natural gas regions. We've heard from members who've saved hundreds of dollars annually on their energy costs. Getting started is easy. Simply call the Energy Program customer service line, 800-830-3501, and our representative will assist you from there, 800-830-3501. You can also visit ofbf.org/savings to learn more.
And it's a hard rain is gonna fall.
Welcome back to Town Hall, Ohio. We are talking about No Plant 19. That's the hashtag that many farmers have slapped on this year's cropping season. If you've been with us throughout the show, you've been hearing a lot about the economic consequences of the nonstop rain, but there are emotional consequences as well. My coworker here at Ohio Farm Bureau, Jordan Haywisher, produces a podcast titled Field Day, and in an upcoming edition that he shared with us, he talks with Highland County farmer and a member of the Ohio Farm Bureau Board of Trustees, Nathan Brown. They chat about the impact of this year on farmers' mental health.
This has been something that's been really hit home to me. Being a first-generation farmer, I didn't necessarily come from an agriculture background, but mental health and your mental wellness has been a part of my life from the beginning. My brother and my mother and my father have all had issues at one point in time, and something that I've struggled with how do you navigate life? We're young parents. How do you know that you're parenting your kids right? And then once you throw in the agriculture and all the twists and turns that are thrown at you as a farmer, and I see so many guys that are struggling and they don't know where to go. And, we treat mental illness in this country as it's taboo. We don't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
It's not something that... Yeah, it may affect me, but it's not something that I want to show.
Yeah.
And, mental wellness is the same as my physical wellness. I need somewhere to go if I need to go to have a checkup that can help me sort through my issues.
Farmers are usually
ones to tough through a lot of things, right? They shoulder the burden of a lot of things. Maybe their family's income, you know, debt, just the day-to-day, like, physical work that's there. And then, oh, by the way, like, if they have a kind of a blip that comes up mentally or in their mental health, oh, they're supposed to shoulder that too without actually expressing it to anybody.
We bear so much ourselves, and we don't like asking for help. We don't, you know, I know more farmers that farm by themselves that have nobody else that helps them on a daily basis than I know operations that are, you know, 6, 7, 8, 10 people. You know, it's that one person, and he's the one that, if it doesn't go right, he's the one to blame for. If he goes bankrupt, he's the one to blame for. You know, if his crops fail, it's all on him. And that can be more than people can handle sometimes. And, you know, I've heard people say, well, if you can't handle the stress, then get out. Well, you know, that's not really a fair statement for anybody, because if you had cancer, you know, or you just need to quit your job because you have cancer. No, I mean, you're going to go find help. And it doesn't always have to be professional help, I don't think. You know, you need to build a good support of peers. I mean, you know, me and my wife have one of the best relationships that you could ask for. I mean, we are open and honest with each other. And, you know, it was just this weekend we were joking around. We were in the car, and we were kind of talking about this subject a little bit. And she said, you know, you're getting pretty good with this mental health. I said, what do you mean? She's like, well, you're getting a whole lot better at hiding it than you used to be. I was like, well, what are you talking about? She's like, well, you're probably sitting there thinking about, well, you know, we just finished planting beans, but we got spraying to do. We got side dressing to do. We've got this going on. You know, we got cows that we just turned the bull out. So we're in the process of breeding. And then we're talking about 3 to 4, 5, 6 inches of rain coming this week. And, and you got wheat. Plus you got board meetings coming up, and you got all this other stuff. Plus
you have a family.
Plus we got kids that are playing T-ball and baseball and, you know, just trying to navigate life. And I think as a business owner and an agriculturalist, there's just more weight that is put on that person.
Like you said, it's kind of taboo, and it's tough to broach that subject because it's, you know, farmers generally haven't been the most expressive. But I think hopefully our generation can help lead the way a little bit more on saying, okay, hand up, I need some help, I got to go see somebody.
You know, to those guys, I say, reach out to your family, reach out to your buddies, you know, put together a group. You know, that's one great thing I like about Ohio Young Ag Professionals group. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can meet so many guys and so many agriculturalists and farmers from around the state and gather your network and find people that you connect with and use those relationships, those bonds to get through tough times, like, you know, mentally that you're having or, you know, whatever. And that's one great thing I like about our organization and organizations in agriculture, they bring people together and you can put together that community, because it takes a community.
Farm Bureau trustee Nathan Brown, who you can hear more of on Jordan Haywisher's Field Day podcast. We'll be back with more of No Plant 19 in a minute.
Where can your Ohio Farm Bureau member benefits take you? No matter the destination, Avis and Budget Rental Car will get you there. Did you know that Ohio Farm Bureau members can save up to 25% off base rates and are eligible to receive other rental car discounts like dollars off or a free upgrade? So before you put that car in drive, log on to ofbf.org/savings and click on the Avis or Budget logo. Avis and Budget, great rental car discounts, exclusive to Ohio Farm Bureau members. Find them at ofbf.org/savings.
Look at this house, Brad. Just the place for some songwriting inspiration. It could be a song about home insurance or auto insurance or a car home bundle with Nationwide. Two songs in one. What would you call that, a crossover?
I think it's more of a mashup, Peyton.
Yeah, a mashup. Genius. Let's make a mashup.
Nationwide is proud to be the exclusive insurance provider for Ohio Farm Bureau. To find a local farm agent, visit farmagentfinder.com.
Savings compared to standalone price of each policy. Product availability varies by state agent and other factors. Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company, Columbus, Ohio.
Quick! Who invented the hypodermic needle? Hip replacement surgery. The first practical inflatable tire. Who discovered that broken bones could be set with pins, or that insects can transmit diseases like typhus and malaria? Who discovered the Ebola virus and made the connection between birds and West Nile? Who developed tranquilizers for use in animals and humans? Who works at the bottom of the ocean and has participated in a mission to outer space? A veterinarian, that's who. Hi, I'm Dr. Kevin Fitzgerald from Animal Planet's eVet Interns. The veterinary medical profession is so much more than you think. From medical research to food safety, and from counterterrorism to taking care of our pets, veterinarians play a critical role in every facet of our lives. To learn more about veterinary medicine, visit avma.org. This public service announcement has been brought to you by the American Veterinary Medical Association and this station.
We believe in food.
Grown in the fields of Ohio.
In clean air and water.
And in preserving farmland forever.
We believe in opportunities for the next generation.
For nearly 100 years,
Ohio Farm Bureau has been bringing people together.
Join us in the journey.
Together.
Together.
Together with farmers.
Visit togetherwithfarmers.org.
At Georgia Boot, we build our boots just like the people who wear them. Tough, dependable, and hardworking. You need a boot that you can count on. That's why Georgia Boot always uses rich, full-grain leathers and comfort insoles to maximize your all-day comfort. We've been building boots that way since 1937. You pick the best tools for the job. Why would your boots be any different? Georgia Boot is America's hardest-working boot. Go to georgiaboot.com to see our latest promotions or to find a dealer near you.
With over 300,000 horses in Ohio, the economic impact of the equine industry in the state is valued at $1.4 billion. Much of that value comes from standardbred horse owners, breeders, trainers, and drivers who participate in the sport of harness racing in the Buckeye State, all supported by the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association. Since 1953, the mission of the OHHA is to preserve, protect, promote, and serve the entire standardbred industry in Ohio and beyond. And the relationship between OHHA members and Ohio agriculture is undeniable. Farmers provide feed, bedding, and stables for the horses, and in turn, those amazingly fast four-legged athletes provide a major draw to Ohio's county fairs, bringing revenue to our rural communities. OHHA membership has its privileges. Members reap the benefits of having a strong voice for shaping statewide policies, receive continuous industry education, and valuable information in OHHA newsletters and magazines. Check out OHHA.com to find out how the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association is making great strides for you. That's OHHA.com.
Rain's been nonstop since early April, and it's kept many Ohio farmers out of the field. The result will be the worst planting season on record. Now, a lot of what we've talked about today has dealt with the impact on crops, but livestock farmers are hurt too. Northwest Ohio farmer Chris Swartz, who hosted Governor DeWine on his farm earlier this month, talked about the impact on his livestock farming neighbors.
Our livestock producers in this area are really going to struggle because there's not the availability of a feed or forage for their animals. And once they liquidate herds, that doesn't come back quickly or easily. And, you know, they're my best customer all the time. I want them in business.
And you might mention about hay. Separately had a bad hay.
Winter was tough. Hay crop was devastated in Northwest Ohio. And that's a big component of the forage component, especially for the dairies and the beef cattle. And, you know, we've had some real horror stories about what hay is bringing at auctions around Ohio. And, you know, those dairy guys are struggling with prices anyway. If they have to pay three times their normal for feed, their economic future is really bleak.
OSU economist Ben Brown agrees with Swartz's assessment of the impact on milk producers.
Well, dairy is one of those you mentioned cyclical nature. Dairy prices are very cyclical. The challenge with dairy that's probably prolonged this is the length of the cycle. You know, we've been in a down cycle for a long period of time. Part of that is due to supply and demand considerations, right? So I'm an economist, so I talk about supply and demand plus the flow of money equals price. And the challenge that we've had in dairy is we continue to increase per cow production each year annually. In milk, we haven't really decreased cattle numbers all that much. In fact, we've actually had a couple of years recently of increasing cattle numbers across the country. So we keep, not only are we increasing cows, we're increasing milk production per cow. So we're increasing supply. So to keep price where it's at, you got to have, you know, increasing demand. You got to have an increase in demand. And cheese demand has been very strong. We've increased cheese demand, but fluid milk demand for dairy product or fluid milk has continued to decrease in demand. There are some, you know, broader macroeconomic considerations that need to be taken into account for dairy. The economy has been strong. You know, the U.S. economy has been strong and it is growing. And there is a connection between when the economy is doing well and people have money in their pockets, they eat out more. And I don't know about you, Joe, but a lot of times when I go to a restaurant and if I ask milk, they just kind of look at me funny, right? People just don't normally ask for milk when they go eat out. And so if we see people eating out more often, you know, we actually see a decline in milk consumption, right? And not saying that I'm hoping, you know, a recession would fix the milk economy. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that, you know, we are seeing some macro challenges plus some micro challenges in the dairy industry that are working against us.
Farmer Chris Swartz points out it isn't just farmers being hurt by No Plant 19.
Our agribusiness suppliers, you know, they sold all kinds of seed that they're going to take back. Their business volume, our elevators, our co-ops are going to struggle because they just don't have any product moving through them. So their viability long term, it comes into question now, too.
While visiting with reporters during Governor DeWine's visit, Swartz tried to sound a bit optimistic, but it was definitely dampened by some harsh reality.
We have a good tight-knit ag community. And this isn't a localized problem. It's really so widespread that we can all commiserate with each other. So that's helping each other out. But I think there's some guys who are going to get drastic about this because it's going to, they're not going to make it through this economic crisis. So I that's terrible.
So there you have it, a look at the worst planting season on record for the state of Ohio. I will be the first to tell you what you've heard over the past hour is only a small part of the story. We should have spent more time on the impacts on livestock farmers, on produce growers, on farm suppliers. We should have spent a lot of time talking about rural communities who, because farmers are being hurt, are going to have less money going through their businesses, into their charities, and in support of their schools. Now, how all of this is going to shake out is anybody's guess. With Mother Nature's cooperation, those that got some crops planted, even though late, may make some decent yields. And perhaps those who couldn't plant anything will receive some sufficient help from Uncle Sam so that at minimal they'll be able to come back and try it again next year. We'll, of course, keep this story updated, and Farm Bureau will continue to work alongside our members to get through this large-scale crisis. Thanks for listening. Say a prayer for our farmers. We'll see you again next week on Town Hall Ohio.
Town Hall Ohio is a project of the Ohio Farm Bureau Federation and is brought to you with the support of Nationwide. Nationwide is on your side. Join us again next week for Town Hall Ohio.